I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. We all recognize the Star-Spangled Banner, which is the national anthem of the United States of America. It became the national anthem in 1931. We all know and recognize the Pledge of Allegiance. It was written in 1892 by a man named Francis Bellamy. It's been modified 4 times. And the words "under God" were added in 1954. I'm kind of surprised that I had to ask us to stand up when we heard the Star-Spangled Banner. It shouldn't be that way. If you go to a ball game, you are expected to stand up while the anthem is being played and remain still. If you're a man and you're wearing a hat, you're expected to take it off out of respect for the flag. We stand, and we stood this morning to show our patriotism. Patriotism is love and devotion to one's country. It comes from the Greek word patris, which means fatherland. But more importantly, this morning, when you and I pledged that Jesus is Lord, we pledged allegiance to the Creator of the universe. You know, in America, when the national anthem is being played and you don't stand up, chances are you don't get into trouble. I lived in Kenya for 9 years. If you go to a movie, at the start of every movie, they're going to play the national anthem. God help you if you don't stand up, because you will be arrested. It is that serious. Not only that, when the flag is being hoisted or being brought down in the evenings, if you were in the vicinity, you are meant to stop. When we got there to plant that church, we had no idea. All of a sudden, around 6 p.m., you hear the whistle being blown, and everybody just stops. And we're just walking like dummies, just keep walking. And the police come, "Sir, come over here. You are meant to stop when the flag is being lowered out of respect." We almost got in trouble. "Well, I'm sorry, I'm not from here. I didn't know that." Now you know. But there's an allegiance that's expected. More so, when we pledge, "Jesus is Lord." Are you with me? And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. He said, "Why did you play the national anthem? Why did you have us recite the Pledge of Allegiance?" I'm trying to make a point. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Let's begin there. And so as we look at the scriptures this morning, I have only one simple question for us. Where is your allegiance? Where is your allegiance? In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, it says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as often told you before and now say again, even in tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." Verse 20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body." It talks over here that, you know what, many people live as enemies of the cross of Christ. If somebody is not living according to the Bible, if somebody has not made Jesus Lord, and every single day being loyal to God. The Bible says we are enemies of Christ. And then it reminds us, Paul does, that our citizenship is in heaven. Over and over again, the Bible teaches how you and I are not of this world. Yes, we live in this world. We cannot get sucked up with what's going on here. And we've got to be very careful that we don't become Sunday Christians. What's going on in your life on a Monday? That's what I want to know. What are you up to on Tuesday as a Christian? What are you up to on Wednesday? What are you up to on Thursday? What are you up to on Friday? What are you up to on Saturday? What consumes you? Where is your allegiance? Is Jesus still Lord? And does this show in our lives? Amen? That's what we're talking about. Because it's easy to be religious. It's easy to punch in a clock. Sunday morning, check. Contribution? I can't check that one this week. I didn't do that one. Is that what Christianity has come to? Christianity is a relationship with the creator of the universe. Because he died for you and I. And we place our allegiance to him. The Bible talks about how you and I were bought at a price. Salvation is a free gift to us. But let me tell you something. It cost God his son. He paid a price for us. There is a price on my head. There is a price on your head. Yes, it was free for us. It wasn't free for God. And that's why the Bible says, we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Amen? Amen? That's why I joined the Church of Christ. Because I found men and women who were claiming not just to be Christians, but they were living it out on a daily basis. Are you still that person? Or are you become a Sunday Christian? Thursday night you come when you feel like it. You come if you're not working late. Is that what Christianity has come to you for you? It shouldn't be that way. Over and over again, Jesus tells his disciples, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. See, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two people will be in the field, one will be left and the other taken. Two people will be grinding with a hand mill, one will be left and the other taken. So keep watch, because your Lord will come on a day when you do not expect him. I'm very concerned because a lot of us are not keeping watch. We're so consumed with this life. Our focus, like it talks about over here, is on earthly things. And that's all we see. Oh, the kids have these activities. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. Let me tell you something. None of that stuff is going to get you to heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't attend our kids' activities. But if kids' activities and things that we're doing, if that takes a precedence over God, you got a problem. You got it upside down. And that needs to change. There are things we don't get involved in our house because, hey, you know what? God is number one. I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong in doing ballet. There's nothing wrong in playing a musical instrument. There's nothing wrong in playing baseball. What I'm talking, God comes before baseball. I'm sorry. God comes before softball. Well, my kids are not going to be happy. Then so be it. I'm going to teach those kids that God is the most important thing. Because our allegiance, we pledged it to God. Amen? We belong to the kingdom of God. God is our king. We show God that we're still loyal to him by the way we live. Are we Christians just in name? How is our lifestyle? What are we busy doing the entire week? Our theme for this year is come follow me, right? Jesus said it, not come follow Richard. I ain't Jesus, in case you haven't noticed. You're very glad that I'm not Jesus. Because a lot of that stuff you put your security in, I would have taken them away by now. I'm just being very honest with you. But it's amazing. Go mark your Bibles down. The thing that you think that is most important to you, You put that thing before God, mark it down. I'm telling you from this pulpit right now, you are about to lose it. God is a jealous God. He's not going to allow you to bring something that he allowed you to have to now become more important than he is. You are about to lose it if you do not change your attitude. That nice car you think you've got, somebody's about to wreck it for you. I pray you come out alive. That beautiful house that you put all your security in, you're about to lose it. That job that you think, oh yeah, man, I got the best job in America. Better watch out. You're about to lose it if you are going to allow any of those things to come before your relationship with God. That's what I'm saying to you. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why we got to make sure that every time our priorities are in the right order. Amen, church? That's all I'm saying. You know how it is? You love a team and you're supporting that team. You don't just support them when they're winning. You continue to support them if you're a true fan, if they're not winning. Some of us were fair weather fans. When the team is doing great, we're there, we're shouting, we're screaming. A lot of people right now in Atlanta, they're Hawks fans. Matt, where have you been all these years? We don't need your support. Where were you when the record was 15 and 50? Now they're winning. Oh yeah, I'm a Hawks fan. Right. It shouldn't be that way. You're a fan or you're not. We belong to Jesus or we don't. Amen? I mean, some of us in here, we're staunch fans of our you know, college football teams. I love Guy Robinson with all my heart. He's a huge Tennessee fan. The man bleeds orange or light yellow, whatever that color is. That's what flows in his veins. He's a huge Tennessee fan. Christy, his wife, she's a huge Auburn fan. I need to introduce you to some Alabama fans. I think you're going to help them become Christians. But you know, Auburn and Alabama, they can't stand each other. But you know, God says, love your enemies. So she needs to help those people become Christians. But you see, how can we become more loyal to our college teams than we are to God? I mean, the other day, the New Orleans Saints finally won the Super Bowl. They've been waiting for years for that. But those guys remain loyal to their team. You can say, you know what? Hey, you guys are not doing well. I'll see you. When you start winning again, I'll come join. It doesn't work that way. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Don't feel sorry for me. We're going to win again. As long as they keep playing the game, it's going to happen. We haven't won anything since the 90s, but that's okay. It's all right. You say, how did you become a Dallas Cowboys fan? Remember, when I came to this country, where I come from, they don't play American football. First of all, I'm thinking, wait a second, you call it football. You don't even use your foot. Anyway. The only guy that kicks the ball, you don't even consider him a player. But anyway. And you say football. Anyway. So somebody finally taught me all the rules. I thought, oh, this is a very interesting game. And I would watch. And, you know, somewhere I heard, oh, Dallas Cowboys, that's America's team. Oh, I said, oh, okay, fine. That's who I'm going to support then. And that's how I started supporting them. Then later on, obviously, they drafted Emmitt Smith, and that was all she wrote. But you see, I'm staying with them, regardless of what happens. You and I need to stay with God, regardless of what happens. It's not only when things are going great that, oh, yeah, we're there, baby. We cannot be fair with the fans. We got to do two things. We got to stay close to God. Look in Mark chapter 14. To continue to be loyal to God, we got to stay close. I want to mention two things very quickly this morning. Mark chapter 14. We got to stay close. We know the story. Jesus is about to be arrested. He tells his apostles that they will all scatter. Even tells Peter he's going to deny him three times. And that's where we're going to pick up. In Mark chapter 14, verse 53, they took Jesus to the high priest and to all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law together. Verse 54. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. And then, obviously, Jesus is inside and he's being interrogated, so to speak. But notice what it says. It says, Peter follows Jesus into the courtyard, but he follows him at a distance. Here's a man who had been following God for 3 years. Being totally loyal to Jesus. Followed very closely. But at this point, the Bible says he followed from a distance. He was trying to play it safe. You see, when, brothers and sisters, when there is distance between you and God, when there is distance between me and God, you and I become very vulnerable to sin. You become extremely vulnerable. And so, I'm asking you, how close are you to God this morning? How close are you to God? I'm talking about, do you enjoy spending time with him in prayer? Or is that a chore that you just, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this. Christianity is a relationship with God. Do you enjoy getting into your Bible? Or is it one of those you wake up every morning and you go, you just open up. What am I going to read today? Let me just open it up. It shouldn't be that way. You've been a Christian for quite some time now. That is stuff that young Christians do. There is so much in here that you do not know. There is so much in here that you and I need to grow in. And it's by getting into the book, are we going to find those things out? You know, that's one of the things I love and appreciate about our elders and many brothers in here. A lot of these guys have been Christians 25 years, 20 years. And their love for God, their love for God's word is incredible. Both our elders, Gary, Steve Collier, I mean, Bill Francis, the names are endless. Whereas, a lot of times what happens is, as people grow as Christians, the more their love for God goes down. And it shouldn't be that way. Here you are, you're 10 years old as a Christian, you're struggling. What are you going to do when you're 30? What are you going to do? There is so much in the Bible if you would simply get in there. There's no shame in saying, you know what? Hey, I'm having problems right now. I need help. I'm glad Joe raised his hand and called for help. If not, we'll be having a funeral right now as we speak. You need to scream. Or you are going to drown spiritually. Sunday morning, yes, you're here, but what's going on the rest of the week? That's what I'm interested in. Amen? How close are you to Jesus? You know, I think there's nothing wrong if we need help, we've lost our way, to ask for directions. You know, I think we're spoiled in a lot of ways. You know, today there's GPS. All you need is an address. And you can find your way to a place. And they have those things programmed in such a way that, you know, okay, you've gone somewhere. You press home and it will take you right back to your house. That's an amazing thing. That's a new invention. Years ago, if you wanted to get somewhere, you had to ask for directions. You know how it is when sometimes you're going somewhere and the person says, you know what, I don't even know the address. Just follow me and stay close. And you're following somebody, they're driving over there.
And they, you don't make the light and they go on and they forget you. And they make another turn. And you're going, oh, I'm in serious trouble now. Why? Because you don't know where they're headed. Now, hopefully they looked in their rearview mirror and stopped somewhere along the line to make sure that you catch up. But you see, when you are not close to the leader, you're very vulnerable. You're going to get lost. In a matter of speaking, this is our GPS. We're navigating our lives through this life with this book, trying to get to heaven. If you are not following this, you are driving blind. And you will not make it to the destination. If you allow Jesus to get far ahead of you, you got to close up the distance. Are you with me? You can even see what I'm talking about, the application of it, in athletics. Like 800 meters. You go around the track twice. And you can tell the guy, there's the favorite, he's in number 6 position. He better make up some ground between him and that first guy or he's going to lose. You got to make up the distance. You just can't say, okay, let me just take my time. Okay, I'm cool. Let's see what happens. You need to pick it up. You need to pick up the pace if you're going to catch that guy up front. If you want to win that race. The same thing is true spiritually, brothers and sisters. We got to pick up the pace. Amen? Sometimes we're so afraid of what other people are going to think. These are some of the factors that create distance between us and Jesus. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't care what anybody thinks. They already think I'm weird anyhow. I don't care. On your job, do they call you pastor? Oh, here she comes. Oh, here he comes. He's going to start quoting scripture. Do people even know you're a Christian? You should walk in and they go, you know, uh-oh, here he comes. He's going to preach. I'm not saying we become obnoxious, but I'm saying where our light shines. Well, on that job, you're doing such a great job that, let me tell you something, when they start laying people off, they're not going to come near you because of the example that you possess. Amen? Amen. Well, when are we going to stop worrying about what people think? I could care less what anybody thinks. The only person I care about what he thinks is God. God promised, you know, if you are ashamed of me before men, I am going to be ashamed of you before my Father. That's what Jesus said. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. Sometimes there's unconfessed sin. And all that does is weighs you down. And it doesn't allow you to keep up with Jesus. You got to get it out. Repent of it. Confess it. Sometimes we're tired and we're just worn out. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long race. You are going to get tired, but you got to keep going. Amen? It's going to be a grind to the very end. And sometimes we just get so busy with life. We get so distracted by life, which kind of leads me to my second point. We not only need to stay close, we need to stay focused. Look in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, again, a passage we're very familiar with in verse 19. It says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We can't serve both God and the world at the same time. It's not possible. And so, where's our treasure? How much investment did you make this week towards your spiritual account in heaven? That's what I want to know. How much? How much did you invest towards your spiritual treasures in heaven? How much are you going to invest this week? Amen? Thieves are going to break in and steal. You know, I always joke around. You know, it's very easy to rob Christians. It's really easy. You can tell when they're not at home. For us, it will be Sunday morning and Thursday night. If somebody wanted to clean us out, they could do it easily. Now, hopefully you know your neighbors. And so when they see a truck backing in, they say, wait a second. We got a problem here. I know these people are at church. And then they'll call the cops. But it's very easy to steal from Christians. It's really easy. It really is. But you see, it should be that there is nothing we own that we could not afford to lose. Really. Think about it. Because we came into this world with nothing, we're not going to live with anything. We can't be people trying to serve two masters. How are you using your time? Let me talk to some of us that are older in the Lord here. I'm not talking to the two-year-old Christian or three-year-old disciple. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking to a lot of us that have been Christians 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. Are you still focused on loving the Lord with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? When was the last time you sat down with somebody and helped them become a Christian? Has it been 6 years? 5 years? The reason for that is because you've lost your focus. And I can tell because, number one, you're not praying for lost people. Are they even on your radar screen? Are you praying with your wife and husband? Lord, lead us to another couple this year that's going to become a Christian. Somebody that we are going to meet. And then you go after it. And again, not setting up with people and saying, when can we get it? Just open up the Bible. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Disciples who make disciples. That's how you got here. Somebody made a disciple out of you. They were praying for you. You were hiding. You were lying. You were hard-hearted. You were proud. But God in His mercy, they hung in there with you. God hung in there with you, and now you're here. Oh, Richard, I'm busy now. I got kids now. Kids that God gave you. You're not going to start using them as an excuse. I'm not saying don't take care of your kids. Take care of your kids and take care of the lost at the same time. It's not an either-or thing. Well, the only thing I can do that is Saturday. Amen. Then do it on Saturday. The only time I have is Sunday afternoon. Then fine. Do it Sunday afternoon. Amen, church? Amen. We got to get back to what we know how to do. We can't have God and the world at the same time. It's like trying to be a Yankees fan and also being a Red Sox fan. It can't exist. It doesn't happen. Red Sox fans cannot stand the Yankees. The Yankees hate the Red Sox. That's the way it ought to be. You cannot serve two masters. You know, every once in a while, you see this sign, a divided house. Maybe the husband went to FSU. And then the wife went to Florida, or the husband went to Florida, and the wife went to Georgia, and you see this a house divided. You can't find that in the Bible. It may be a nice tag for your car, but that's all it's good for. In the kingdom of God, we're either all in or out. There's no in between. You can't have your one foot in America and the other foot in Mexico. It doesn't work that way. Amen? Amen? We gotta stay focused. on what's really important. And so I'm asking us, as we close out this morning, when was the last time you helped somebody become a Christian? I'm not trying to make us feel guilty. I'm trying to get us back to what we know how to do. Amen? It shouldn't be just a few people in the church converting people. It should be everybody. The command to go make disciples, the charge to go make disciples, is not just for a few. It's not just for the leaders. It's for everybody. Amen? Where everywhere you go, you walk into a party, you walk into some function, you're thinking, who can I help become a Christian in here? Holy Spirit, lead me. Father, guide me. Show me what to say. I started praying personally. It's been a wise idea. It just dawned on me. I said, you know what? Lord, lead me to another guy named Richard. Who's going to become a Christian this year? That's my personal prayer. And I'm going out talking to people. I'm going to meet him. And when I meet him, there's going to be a huge smile on my face. And I'm going to look at him and say, you know what? The Lord has sent me to you. I have been praying and looking for you. There is no doubt in my mind, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Yeah, why Richard? Hey, I like the name Richard. So, I want to have a namesake. I don't know what it is for you. But I believe we got to get back to what we know how to do. We got to get back to Jesus. We got to stay close. And we got to stay focused. We pledged allegiance to God. We said Jesus is Lord. And it wasn't for 6 months. It wasn't for 10 years or 20 years. It was for the rest of our lives. That's what this church is all about. That's what it's always been about. And that is what it will always continue to be about. If the day ever came where we're just going to church and just showing up just for the sake of showing up, that is the day I hand in my resignation. I can tell you that one right now. And you know before. This is all about God for me. This is all about getting people to heaven. Amen? That's what we're all about. And it hasn't changed. You haven't received the memo yet from me or the elders saying our mission and our whatever has changed. It hasn't changed, and it will not change, because that's what the Bible teaches. Amen? Amen? And so, church, let's get back to our allegiance. Allegiance to God. Let's stay close to Him. Let's stay focused on Him. Let's not be distracted. And to God be the glory. God bless you.